the unsurpassed, penetrating and perfect truth is seldom met with, even in 100,000 myriad kalpas. Now we can see and hear it, we can remember and accept it. I vow to make the Buddha's truth one with myself. Homage to the Buddha, homage to the Dharma, homage to the Sangha. Today I'm going to talk about the joy of gaining nothing. It sounds very Zen, but actually, it's just like that, actually. Usually we come to Buddhism, as most of us know, because we're not happy with the way things are, or the way that we are. We want something different. Maybe something's not quite right in our life, maybe we're having a lot of suffering. We just want things to be different, or want us to be different, so we can deal with it, make a difference in our life. We want something. This is fine, otherwise it wouldn't start. We want something. We want enlightenment, or we want wisdom, or blissful states, or just some kind of release from suffering. Something that will take it away and make us happy. We have expectations, which is fine. And after we've been training for a while, we may still have expectations or hope of some great vast change that will make everything different. My problems will go away, I shall be free from suffering, and things will be much better, you know. Some great life-changing experience. And life-changing experiences do happen, but not quite in the way we might think. They don't suddenly take away all our problems. They just make them a little different, and sometimes better, but they don't melt away completely. And if we don't seem to have great life-changing experiences, we might think there's something wrong with us. I'm not doing it right. You know, I should be having great experiences or blissful states, and it's not happening. I'm just trudging along, doing my training, trying to do my meditation, and, you know, am I missing my life? We talk about the joy of training. And there is joy in training. It's not in great experiences or blissful states. They come and go. The real joy of training is usually a lot quieter and more subtle and sometimes easy to miss. A growing contentment, maybe, that we might not even notice for a while. But if we look back on the way we used to be, the way things were for us, we see a change. Even if we're having a really difficult time right now, this is normal. It happens in training, it can happen if we're not training, but at least we're trying to do something about it. Sometimes beginning to train brings up stuff in spades, as we know. And yet, we have a way of dealing with it. We're trying to look at ourselves and do something about it. And we can still see a change from the way we used to be. As someone we know once said, we may feel we're still a mess, but at least we're a mess with a purpose. And actually there's a lot of wisdom in that. Being a mess with a purpose is a lot better than being a wandering mess who doesn't know how to find the way out, because that's a suffering. It's a huge thing, having a purpose, a direction in our life. We're no longer in wandering. Samsara means wandering. Wandering through the world, not knowing where we're going. Now we have a way forward, and we can do something. Even when it's hard, even when it seems like we're banging our heads against the wall, something in us knows that we're on the right track. Things will change. Things are changing. And when we are making a sincere effort to train, meditate, keep to the precepts, to look at where we create suffering. We change and our suffering is reduced. We see where we grab onto our emotions, feelings, where we grab onto anger or resentment and hold onto it and feed it and nourish it and make it a nice little plant, you know. Or feed our fears and worries. Just, you know, nourishing them in the darkness at 3 a.m. where we have huge expectations of something and then we're inevitably disappointed. You know, all the different ways that we've created suffering for ourselves and our relationships, getting into you know, unhappy games or ways of relating to people, expecting too much from somebody, hoping they will make us happy. Nobody can make us happy. You can only make ourselves happy. Maybe with a little help from our friends. But really it's up to us. All these ways we've created suffering in the past, it's actually, if you look and see, it's getting better. But it may be subtle and hard to see. But do not lose heart if things seem to be difficult, if you're having a hard time. Training does help. It begins to even things out, those ups and downs of the roller coaster of life. You know, some people kind of enjoy the roller coaster, but actually, when you look, it's not really that much fun. When you're up in the high thing, you know it's going to end sometime, you're going to come down to, you know. It's not a satisfactory place to be. It doesn't nourish us, because any moment of kind of high, as it were, it ends, it's gone, and then we're back where we were. And the low things, they're not as deep as they used to be when we train, because we know things change. There's something deeper than all that stuff. The real joy of training is peace of heart, contentment, knowing that we're doing what is best to do, even when it feels awful. Even when we make mistakes, mess everything up, or when others make mistakes and we're upset, we're still trying to head in the right direction. And we may have moments of joy, and we can enjoy them while knowing they won't last. And in fact, knowing something won't last, when we actually accept that, we kind of enjoy it more, you know. If there was always perpetual sunset, we wouldn't even look at it. But because we know it's just a momentary thing, we think, oh, look at that, beautiful, it'll be gone in a minute. We have a nice meal, we wouldn't want to eat all day, and, you know, we can enjoy it. But after a short time, it'll become a horrible suffering. We have less fear and anxiety, because we're not going to grab on things so much. We may have fear and anxiety, we generally do, it's a part of the human condition, but it's not as overwhelming. It doesn't constrict us in quite the same way, because things do change. We can have faith that there is something that supports us, even when things are hard, even when we don't know where we're going in our regular life, when things seem insecure. There is something that sustains us, and with training, we entrust ourselves to that. Maybe without even knowing we're doing it, we just gradually, naturally turn towards that. We might have less bitterness, less regret over the things we didn't do or the things that were done to us, and just be able to relinquish some of that. We don't have to hold on to the past. To see what we did, what others did, to accept it as wholly as we can and let it come and go. We don't dwell there all the time. As we let it go in and out, gradually it loses its hold over us. It can take a long time. When you have to face something painful and difficult, maybe the loss of somebody we love, or serious illness, all the things that can happen, all the many things that happen in our lives, we can deal with them with strength and courage when we're training and having, entrusting ourselves to that which sustains us, faith in the fundamental matter. It helps us with all these things. And things are still painful, but we know we'll get through it, because nothing lasts forever. Momentary experiences of insight can be really helpful. You can learn from them. If you take them in the right way, they're a gift. They're not something we're entitled to. They're not some great cause for self. They're a gift given to us by we know not what, that can help us if we learn from them. If we don't try to cling on to them, don't try and get them back, recreate something, that never works. But to be grateful, to learn, to let it come and go, then we can still derive nourishment from that, derive benefit. Otherwise, we keep trying to go back, get something back, and that, as I said, never works. And we may think we're doing something wrong because we can't get back that lovely experience we had or that lovely insight we had or whatever it might be. But we're not doing anything wrong. We just have to move on. If we feel we're a person who doesn't have insights, don't worry. We're doing the practice. We're training ourselves. We're actually practicing wisdom. I myself don't have lots of experiences of insight and great things. I seem to be kind of low in that department. But I've learned not to worry too much, not to sort of think, am I missing everything? Am I somehow not training? You know, it's just everybody's different. And sometimes if somebody has a great, wonderful experience, but they take it in the wrong way or they take it as an affirmation of self, it actually can be harmful to them. You have to take it the right way. It's not a self thing. It's a gift. Everything comes and goes. Nothing can be held on to. Wisdom is not something we accumulate and then we've got it, a little store that we can kind of hoard, a treasure that we can sit on like Smaug and guard it and look at it every now and then and, oh yes, it's this and this and this. It's not like that at all. It comes and goes. It's not ours. It's something to which we have access. If we open to it, it's not our own. And it's not just for us. It's for everybody. It's not what's the best thing for me, you know, but the wisdom to know what's best for me. It's wisdom to know what's best to do here. What's best for all concerned. How do I do what's right? What needs to be done here? It's not a me thing. Sometimes it's really hard to do the right thing, as it were. And something in us may know, this is what I need to do. It might be hard, but I need to do it. The shift of focus away from me and my wants and needs and so forth, to what's best here. I'm not the center of the universe. It's such a simple thing, we say it all the time, it's not about me. Instead of trying to get something, we're giving ourselves to something, because I'm just a little being, just a little part of everything. Not what's in it for me, but relinquishing that obsession with me and what I want. Harmonizing ourselves with truth, with the flow of life. It's not about me. We say this all the time. The constantly flowing thing, the flow of Buddha nature, of which we're part, nothing is static, nothing can be held onto, everything flows through, we are part of it. And if we try to hold on to something, we're blocking it up. If we simply let it come and go, let it flow through our hand, then we have it, but it's not ours to keep. It comes and goes, let it flow through. Holding on to the past, holding on to the golden time we had, holding on to the way things were, or the way I wish they were, or the way I think they should be, or what I think I am, any of that stuff, holding on to it creates a suffering. And the more we can see this, and the more we can allow ourselves to relinquish the grip and let it all flow through, the more joy there is in our life. It's not as something we can cling on to, we can't hold on to joy. Joy of its very nature comes and goes. A moment of joy is not like a lifetime of ecstasy. It would be extremely difficult to maintain and not much fun at all, actually, after a short time. But the moments come and go. A little moment of joy, a little moment of grief, a little moment of despair, a little moment of fear, a little moment of joy, a little moment of contentment. All these things make up our life. And because of that, it's rich, it's flowing, it's dynamic. Nothing stuck, nothing stopped, everything moving through. Making choices. not just for me, but for all beings. And sometimes the thing I want is the thing to do. It's not that I always have to say, well, I want this, therefore it must be wrong. It might be just fine, I'm a person too. You know? But what's best? What's really best? And actually, sometimes the thing that brings us peace, or actually often, if it brings me peace of heart, then I can be more help to others than if I'm sacrificing myself and constricting myself into some horrible little situation, thinking it's the right thing. Maybe I'll just create suffering for myself and others because something in me knows I need to do something different. It's not just, oh, what's best for everybody else? What's best for all of us? What's best for everybody, including myself? Impermanence can be a source of suffering when we try to cling on to things, and a source of joy when we relinquish the grip, when we accept things as they are, not wanting something else. And when we do want something else, to say, oh yes, there I am wanting something different. It's okay. Just don't cling on. To do our best with things, let them change. Let them change for the seeming better. Let them change for the seeming worse. We don't know how it will turn out. Just to accept things as they come our way, as best we can. Easier said than done. We don't gain anything in our training, actually. We can be deeply wise at one moment and a total idiot the next. We're not stuck with, here I am, a wise person. You know, none of us is permanently wise, permanently wonderful, permanently kind, permanently enlightened. We all mess up sometimes. But we can do our best. Just keep coming back and doing our best. Coming back to the precepts when you find you've made a mistake. Ah, sorry, can't do better. We change all the time. We're constantly moving and changing. Otherwise we couldn't go anywhere. We'd come to this great wise place and that would be the end of it. And stuck on our little pinnacle, you know, maybe somebody coming along and dust us once in a while and we'd be no use to anybody really. But because it's dynamic, because we're human beings, we make mistakes and then we learn something. Then we can actually help. We can help ourselves, we can help other beings. Because a human being is much more use than a statue, actually. A statue can inspire us, but it can't get off its pedestal and help out. It can't wash the dishes for us. Training is endless. We constantly make that effort to bring ourselves back. It's never done. Constant training, constantly going on becoming Buddha. Never become Buddha, as Reverend Mouse used to say. Continually working on the precepts, continually trying to practice kindness to other beings and to ourselves. It's a continual endeavor. We're never completely arrived. It's always ongoing. And that actually is a joy that is always there to be done. We never arrive and say, okay, now what? I'll just sit and drink my tea and, you know, be happy and enlightened and doing nothing. It doesn't seem to be that way for us. Maybe it is for the Buddha, but I don't know. He had a lot of stuff going on in his life. He had people, you know, unleashing wild elephants at him and being rude and stamping away and hurling himself off cliffs trying to get enlightenment or something. You know, all sorts of things happened to the Buddha. It wasn't like suddenly everything was perfect as soon as he was enlightened. He had a lot of stuff to deal with. Sometimes he'd make a rule, it wouldn't work, people would complain, okay, we'll change it. You know, it wasn't like it was fixed, everlasting, static wisdom. We can't hoard the benefits of training. We give them away. We may gain merit, we give it away. We pass it on to others, constantly offering merit to other beings, offering help and kindness to other beings as we can. We train for self, we train for other, we train for the sake of training itself. Practicing wisdom and compassion, can't have one without the other. It has to be compassion for beings, kindness to beings, and this brings joy, actually. Love for beings, not so much individual, personal thing, but just general love for beings, because we are part of beings. None of it can be held on to. There are lots of joys in training. They nourish us and they sustain us. And I try to think of a few of them, but there's actually a zillion of them. Gratitude, the ceremony we just had for Reverend Master. Gratitude for her life of training and what she passed on to us. If we weren't grateful, it would be pretty miserable. You don't have to feel grateful all the time, but we practice gratitude. We make offerings and we do it together. Gratitude can arise. Thank you, Reverend Master, for all you gave us. There's joy in that. Fearlessness. We're not so afraid because we're not so afraid of other people. We're all connected. We are part of other people. No matter what happens, no matter what situation we may be in, people are in all kinds of dangerous and difficult situations. It's easy to sit here and say, oh yes, we don't have to be afraid of anything. If an army was just outside the door waiting to attack us, we'd probably feel some fear, but it wouldn't be the same as screaming downright panic. I hope not. Because there is nothing to be lost when it comes down to it. We're not separate from other beings. We're not separate from those who do harm. We're not different. We are part of them, they are part of us. It's all of us together in this human body. And that helps with fearfulness, anxiety, stark terror, unease, all the different forms of fear. Training really helps when it arises to practice sitting still right in the midst of it and letting it go through. It passes. It doesn't stay. It evaporates. Even when it keeps coming back, we feel it in the body. Okay, here it is. Let it come. Let it be here. Let it pass through when it wants to. Love for beings, as I said, not expecting anything from them, but just because they're beings, human, animal, other, trees, rocks, to take care with things, to take care with people, to take care with animals, to treat them with respect and kindness, because they are part of the body too. We're all part of that one Buddha body, none of us separate for a moment. So to treat beings in that way, to love beings in that way, and ourselves too. It's not me offering to everybody else, oh, here I am, a fountain of goodness and love. We're not that big. We're just part of the thing. We're just another little being. But to be able to remember that we're all part of that one body, it's a joyful thing. We don't feel warm, fuzzy love all the time, but it does arise. And we can act on that rather than fear and selfishness and all that. It's the contentment, peace of heart, of knowing that we're doing what we should be doing and it's leading us in the right direction. We have no idea how long our life will be, how long our training will take. What does it mean to finish training? I don't know. You don't have to worry about that. Just to keep doing it, entrusting ourselves to it, allowing it to lead us onwards, and allowing the joy of training to be there. 1,000 years ago, my dad asked me, what does this Buddhism do for you? And I said, I think it makes me happier and nicer. And he said, oh, good enough. I still hold to that. I think if we're not becoming happier and nicer, maybe we're missing something. Both happier and nicer. Nicer, yes. Happier also. The peace and joy of training. Sometimes we feel awful, miserable, crabby, you know, everything's falling apart. Even so, if you consider, how would I have dealt with this if I hadn't found the Dharma? It probably wouldn't be a very pretty picture. Having the Dharma, knowing that everything changes, that there is that which sustains us, helps us with everything. And there are many more joys of training. They don't seem very dramatic. They're not the great highs and lows, but they sustain us. They help us. They are a practice of wisdom. None of them is a sort of temporary ice cream, as it were. They're the oatmeal of our lives. When you think about it, most of life is made up of small, undramatic moments. Most of the time it is working or cleaning our teeth or washing the dishes or preparing for bed or, you know, just doing stuff like that. We're not all the time doing some great and wondrous thing. And in those little moments, that's where our life is, really. Talking to somebody, you know, working on our relationships, looking at our mind. The high points are pretty few and far between. And you can't live for them, or you just be miserable, constantly dissatisfied, wanting something else. To be present for our life, to be aware of these small and ordinary moments, see the joy that's there, an underlying peace of heart and contentment maybe, not something always obvious, and not all the time, but some of the time, there's just this quiet joy. The joy of the small moments, joy of working together in our community working meditations these last couple of days. It was lovely out there picking up sticks. When I first came, we were picking up sticks outside to prevent fire, just like this. And I was looking at these other monks thinking, look at that, they've been picking up sticks all this time. They'd done it for 3 years. Now, 38 years later or something like that, I'm picking up sticks and thinking how good it is just to pick up sticks, you know, with others. Not all by myself. It's okay picking up sticks by oneself, but it's nicer picking up sticks together. It was very nice. Simple, ordinary, nothing dramatic, you know, picking up sticks. To be grateful for what we have, grateful for our life, and not resentful about what we don't have. To practice kindness to other beings and to ourselves, as I said. Not to judge ourselves because we don't have great, wonderful moments. And if we do, you know, okay. But not to get all excited about it. It's a gift. Not to judge ourselves because we don't seem to be perfect. We don't seem to be having great, wonderful things. And we're still making mistakes. Not to judge others because they make mistakes. And they're not perfect. All these little ways, these are all little ways that nourish joy in our hearts and in our lives. Quiet joy, maybe, but joy nevertheless. And not to go looking for it particularly, oh, good, joyful moment, great. But to allow it to be there, to notice when it's there, to notice the light on the leaves or, you know, a nice little interchange with somebody, a nice stupa ceremony we just had, to enjoy it. How nice to be together doing this. Out there getting all hot and dusty, picking up sticks, or working in the kitchen, peeling potatoes. There's joy in these moments. We just show up for them, you know. Be there for them and not be thinking about something else. You know, I'm peeling potatoes and thinking about how nice it would be to be somewhere else doing something else. We're missing our life that way. To show up for our life. That is what nourishes us. That is what sustains us. To be here in this moment, for better or worse, the warmer and cooler moments, to show up for all of them. Every moment is precious. None of it will come again. And when we kind of try to be here for these little moments, we're not missing our life. If we're always looking to something else, wanting something different, we're missing what we have right now. We can learn from everything. We can give ourselves to our life at each moment, not expecting anything, not demanding anything, and not grabbing onto anything. How nice that would be, you know. We're not perfect here. But to see where we do that and to relinquish, to do our best to live in harmony with Buddha nature, with the great Buddha body, the great matter, however we want to call it, to live in harmony with that, the flow of life, to allow ourselves to move with that, live in harmony with it, not trying to stop it or grab onto something. Whether we seem to see it and feel it or whether we don't, something in us knows that we are part of that. And we just need to open up to it and trust it, to allow ourselves to be a part of that flow. the joy of gaining nothing. We get nothing out of it, in a sense, because there isn't really a we. We're just little beings part of that big flow. And the real joy would be to know that through and through, there isn't a me really here. Yes, what I think of as me is I'm responsible for what I do, responsible for what I say, how I treat people, and yet there's nothing to hold on to here. It's not wisdom that I can accumulate, or whoever I think I am, or something I think I can hoard and grasp. It's not happiness for me. It's just doing what needs to be done and relinquishing that feeling of me and my stuff, me and what I want. Not just sacrificing ourselves for other beings, as I said, but just being part of life, being a halfway decent human being, as Rav Master Daitri said, to just do our best without great expectation, without ambition, without being a big wise self or a big dumb self, mostly the latter, just to relinquish all that, having to be a somebody, trying to get something out of it, but just to give ourselves to it. That's the real joy, to relinquish this me stuff, what I want, to know that we're just part of that great matter. Nothing more and nothing less. That's it.